We are ready now to look at the scriptures, at the Bible. And as it's the first Sunday of September, we're back in our year-long sermon series on the cross. The cross, as in what Jesus' death and his rising again mean to us. What is it and what does it do for us as Christians? And this month we're looking at holiness. How the cross of Jesus makes us holy. The other word that you'll hear in this talk and in Christian books and in Christian talks is sanctification. And what we're going to look at in this talk is what is sanctification? Why is sanctification important? And how do we grow in sanctification? So, what is sanctification? Why is sanctification important? And how do we grow in sanctification? And before we get into that, we're going to look at a passage in the Bible, which we're going to look at when we examine why sanctification is important. It's a passage that's always been very special to me. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 13 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 13 to 25. So let's hear God's word. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout your time of exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but he was made manifest in the last time for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. From a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of a grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. And this Word is the good news that was preached to you. And that is God's word. A very precious passage, and we'll come back to it in a bit. The topic before us, sanctification or holiness, and whenever I use those two terms from now on, they mean the same thing. But as I have done over the past couple of months, I've been using a little book called the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Catechism is a little book of instruction, and it's short because it's a shorter one. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 35, is this: what is sanctification? Sanctification is a work of God's free grace by which we are renewed in the image of God and are enabled more and more to die to sin and to live to righteousness. So sanctification is a work of God's free grace by which we are renewed in the image of God and are enabled more and more to die to sin and to live to righteousness. That's a beautiful summary of it. It means we become like God, the ultimate expression of God was the Lord Jesus Christ. We become like Jesus and we become more holy. Being holy means set apart. That the first time the term holy is ever used in the Bible is Genesis 2, when God blesses the Sabbath and makes it holy. From creation to the first Easter weekend, God's day was Saturday. He blessed it and made it holy because that day was his. All the days belong to God, but that day especially is his. It's like holy ground. You know, in Exodus 3, God appears to Moses and he says to Moses, take off your sandals because now you're on holy ground. All the ground in the world belongs to God. But for that few for those few minutes, that ground was holy because it was set apart for God, using it for his glory. And that's what it means for a Christian. It means we are set apart for God and he is making us holy in thought, word and deed. And there's two senses in the Bible, I've just hinted at them, in which a Christian is holy or sanctified. The first one is in Christ. In Christ, we are made holy. We are set apart in Christ for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, Jesus is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Jesus, in his perfect life and perfect death, was completely holy, completely set apart for God, delighted in all of God's commands. And by our faith, by our union with him, we are set apart in him. Our position in Christ, we are set apart. It's called positional sanctification. It's who we are in Jesus. That's the first sense. The second sense is we're a work in progress. Sometimes we're really holy and godly, and sometimes we're not. Sometimes we feel like we're next to angels praising God, so close to him we couldn't imagine ever offending him. The day after we've had a row with someone, we don't feel great, we didn't sleep well, and we think, how could I have been like that yesterday, but I'm like this today? Because we're all a work in progress. We go up and down. So this is called progressive sanctification. One, the first one, our position in Christ is set and fixed because that's in Christ. The second one, progressive sanctification, we're up and down like waves or like a yo-yo. As I say, some days we're in love with God, we love everybody, we can't imagine offending him. The other days we're dead spiritually. We feel nothing. We have to force ourselves to read the Bible. We have to force ourselves to pray. Church is a drag. Yes, it's okay. We're all human and we've all been there. So we can all be honest with each other. We're all a work in progress. And look at that beautiful, the first part of the answer to the Question 35 of the Catechism. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace. The grace of God that forgives us our sins and declares us righteous, that's justification. The grace of God that makes us God's children, that's adoption, that was last month, is the grace of God that gives us a new heart, new desires, and a new yearning, and a strength to pursue holiness. That's the grace of God. He is, as we said last week, he is a complete saviour, a complete rescuer. And remember, as we said last week, Jesus is praying for us. So it's all of God It's all of God. And we become renewed in the image of God, like Jesus, who is, as Colossians 1:15 says, the image of the invisible God. Sanctification, we're made more and more Christ-like, more and more holy, more and more loving, more full of the Spirit, more full of the fruits of the Spirit. A very interesting analogy. It just came to me. Didn't write it in my notes. Happens a lot. A.B. Simpson, I think it was, gave a lovely picture of how to explain sanctification. Think of a cup. Think of a cup that's not been washed. It's dirty. There's coffee or tea stains inside. There's drips down the outside, you know. So you get it. You clean it. And then it becomes your clean cup to use. So the cup was dirty, it's now clean, it's yours to use, and you fill it with whatever you want to put in it. And that's like what God does with sanctification. He takes us, we're all grubby, mucky, unclean, we're cleaned in Christ, we're made new in Christ, he fills us with the Holy Spirit and gives us strength to pursue the Christian walk and to walk in his way. That's sanctification. It's a being like Jesus. And it's positive as well as negative. It's positive as well as negative. It's holiness isn't just about what we don't do. You know, I'm holy. I don't swear. I don't gamble. I don't get drunk. I don't smoke or fight in the street. I'm holy. Okay, you've told us what you don't do. But what do you do? There are two beautiful passages that talk about putting off the old self and putting on the new self. It's about what you do. Not just what you don't do. It's holiness. Colossians 3:1 to 17. Paul gives a long list of things that the Colossians are to put to death. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. But put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate heart, kindness, humility, meekness and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. So it's not just what you don't do. Yes, stop doing all that, but do this. Don't just not get angry, be loving. Don't just not bear a grudge, forgive and love that person who offended you. That's sanctification. It is something that is seen. Hidden sanctification, so a sanctification or a holiness that never shows itself, is no holiness at all. Yeah? Jesus said it in Matthew 7, the fruit, by their fruit you shall know them. Fruit in the Bible is about character. The most famous is Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. That's not just what you don't do, it's what you do. And ultimately, those fruits of the Spirit, just write Jesus. So it's the other passage, Ephesians 4, 17 to 32, is the passage that says, put off the old self and put on the new self. We're new creatures in Christ. Now, why is this important? Why? The first reason why in this passage that we've looked at is because we're God's children. Verses 15 to 17. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds. Conduct yourself with fear throughout your time in exile. Because we're God's children. Children resemble their parents in one way or another. If you're a child of God, you will resemble him. As I say, it's a work in progress. We go up and down. You may be a little bit like him. You may be a lot like him, but you will be like him. We said this when we talked about being born again. God, when he adopts us, we get his DNA, the Holy Spirit, in us. It's a work of the Spirit, and the work that begins when we're born again continues through our life. So when we're adopted, we become God's children and we get his DNA. We will be like him. As he says, be holy because I am holy. God cannot have fellowship with unholiness. God commands us to be holy because he commands us to be like him when we can. There's some things we can't be like God, like create a universe out of nothing, be all-knowing, be all-powerful. But in the things we can be like God, yes, we must be like him. So we must be holy. Indeed, it is the greatest evidence that you are a child of God, that you live a holy life. In the New Testament, it gives any number of passages how you can be sure you're a Christian. And every single one of them mentions obedience. 1 John chapter 2, by this we know that we have come to know him, that we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar. That's God's word. A life of obedience is because we are his children. A life of holiness. The second reason why, it's why Christ died. This is about why, what the death of Christ means to us. Christ died to make us holy. When Christ died on the cross, our old self died with him. When he rose again, that meant our new self was alive with him. And so we are united to him by faith. And the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead lives in us. So we'll be like him. Verses 18 to 21, read it. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. This is why Christ died. So we live a life of holiness because of our union with him, because it's what his death achieved. He died to make us holy. Ransomed. Not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ. So we live because of our union with Christ, but second, we live in gratitude. Think of that. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. All your sins, if you're a Christian today, everything you've ever done wrong, all the good things that you didn't quite do right, all of them are forgiven because of the death of Jesus Christ. A life of holiness is a life of gratitude to him, saying, he gave that much for me. I will live for him. in righteousness and in holiness all the days of my life. Because he is my all in all. He loved me and gave himself for me. So we live a life of holiness for those reasons. It's why he died. It's a reality of our union with him and in thankful obedience to him for what he's done. And the third reason, it's what God's word does by the power of the Spirit. Verses 22 to 25. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God is how we're born again. You may have read the Bible and become a Christian. You may have heard the Bible preached and become a Christian. Someone may have witnessed to you or shown you compassion and told you the good news of Jesus. But it was the word, the truths of the word, that caused you to be born again. Because the Spirit, as we looked at when we talked about being born again, it's a work of the Spirit. The Spirit makes us new creatures in Christ. It's a mighty work of the Spirit of God, and it's done by the Spirit through the word. They never work apart. Spirit work does his work in us through the word. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to make us like the Son of God, to the glory of God. And that's what God's word does. It makes us a Christian, and then it makes us like Christ. The pivotal importance of the Bible, received by faith, with prayer, by the power of the Spirit, is how we grow in holiness. And when you're a Christian, you, as it says in the next chapter, chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. So you're growing in Christ-likeness, which is the inevitable consequence of being a Christian. And the final reason, there's no heaven without holiness. Hebrews 12:14 says, strive for peace with all men and for the holiness without which nobody will see the Lord. Okay? Now, John, you always said it was by grace, not by our works. Well, it is. But salvation is a reality that is broad. Yes, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, and he does all the work. But a genuine faith in Christ will be accompanied by repentance, and as a consequence of repentance and faith, will be seen in a holy life. Because repentance, remember, it means turning away from sin and walking in a new way. Repentance and faith lead to holiness. It cannot be any other way. In the same way, 2 plus 2 must always equal 4. Repentance and faith will always bring holiness of life. That's the way God has ordered things. There is a sense in which we are being saved from the power of sin every day. We are saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved when Christ comes again. So why is it important? Why is it important? Let's go over them again. Because we're God's children. It's why Christ died. It's what God's word does. And there's no heaven without it. So think on this. Pray on this. Get ready. So what are we to do? Maybe you're worried. Maybe you think, oh, I haven't lived as holy as I should have done. Or how do I grow in holiness? I think I'm a Christian, but how do I grow? Or maybe you're thinking, I'm confident I'm a Christian, I'm growing, but I'd like to grow more. Well, going to quote from Bishop Ryle. This is his book, Holiness, which is a classic on the subject of holiness. And this is from the last chapter. And he says the last chapter is called Christ is All. Bishop Ryle asks this question: would you be holy? Then Christ is the manna you must daily eat, like Israel ate manna in the wilderness. Would you be holy? Christ must be the rock from which you daily drink the living water. Would you be holy? Then you must be ever looking unto Jesus, looking at the cross, learning fresh motives for a closer walk with God, looking at his example and taking him for your pattern. Looking at him, you would become like him. Looking at him, your face would shine without you knowing it. Look less at yourself and more at Christ, and you will find sins dropping off and leaving you, and your eyes enlightened more and more every day. The true secret of coming up out of the wilderness is to come and lean on the Beloved, Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5. The true way to be strong is to realize our weakness and to feel that Christ must be all. The true way to grow in grace is to make use of Christ as our fountain for every minute's necessities. We ought to employ him as the prophet's wife employed the oil, not only to pay our debts, but to live on. We should strive to be able to say, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, our verse of the year. And Joel Beakey put it this way, which is a beautiful way: holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. Holiness is not the way to Christ. Christ is the way to holiness. So run to Jesus this very day and don't leave him ever. Cling to him, look at him, and you'll grow more like him. So, you know what I'm going to say? We've talked about the importance of the Bible. So read your Bible. Talk about God. Talk about your Bible reading to God. Pray. Ask him to give you grace. Think about the Bible. Sing the Bible. Or sing other great songs about the truths of the Bible. And when the time comes, which it will, gather with Christians and hear the Bible preached and talk about it to Christians. Yes, you can talk about other things, of course you can, but make a point of saying, I've been reading about this. What do you think? Do you know anything about that? Can you help me? Come to a life group. Or if you're if I understand if you feel nervous and you don't want to come, you're shy, send one of us a message. It's okay. Let's look at Simone's prayer points that she puts up on the Facebook page and use them as you wish. Get into prayer, spending time with God, worshipping him, serving him, and loving him, and getting with his people. What we call the means of grace, the ways to grow in Christ-likeness. A third way to grow in holiness is to consider yourself dead to sin, moment by moment. Romans 6, verse 11. So you must also consider yourself dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Or to quote Joel Beakey again in his sermon on holiness, he quoted a farmer who used to tell his sons, "Boys, you're Christians. You ain't got no business sinning." Nothing to do with us. Sin is in the past. Sin is not our friend. Sin is not our master. We walk in the ways of Christ. And a really good thing to do, finally, is to what we call practice the presence of God. Live moment by moment in the awareness that God is with you. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is with you. He dwells in our hearts by faith, and he's there. It's a tremendous comfort knowing that God is with us, and it's a tremendous challenge. J.I. Packer, in his book Knowing God, called it an awesome thing to know that we're living moment by moment in the presence of God. It's a comfort knowing that God never leaves us, but it's a challenge. Because if God is with us, he knows what we're doing. And we're to be holy, as it says in 1 Peter, in all our conduct. Not just here and there, but in what we do when we're alone, what we do when no one's watching, what we do when only our closest people are watching, what we do when we're at work, what we watch on TV, what we watch on our phones, what we talk about, what we listen to, what we think about. God is there. If you were consciously aware of the presence of God, would you be having those thoughts? No, take every thought captive. We're to be holy in thought, word, and deed. So practice the presence of God and joy in that presence. Delight in that presence and rejoice in that presence. Now we've looked at sanctification. We've looked at this month and the past 2 months. We've looked at the two other great things that God does for Christians. I mean, many things that God does for Christians, but justification, adoption, and sanctification. Justification, where he forgives all our sins and counts us righteous in Christ. Adoption, where he numbers us as one of God's children. And sanctification, whereby we're renewed in the whole man after the image of God and enabled to die to sin and to live to righteousness. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism starts all these as the work of God's free grace. But the next question says this: what are the benefits which in this life accompany justification, adoption, and sanctification? What are the benefits which in this life we have because of justification, adoption, and sanctification? So they're the three things you have if you're a Christian. The benefits in this life which accompany justification, adoption, and sanctification are these: assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Spirit, increase of grace, and perseverance to the end. Assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance to the end. They're beautiful. Thank God for these. You can have all them if you're justified, adopted, and sanctified. And next month, we'll be looking at how God preserves us, how we persevere to the end because of the grace, the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. God bless you.